Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and I wish to ask the Commission if there is an objection to the cause of action as outlined by the Secretary. Seeing none, then the Commission agrees the cause of action as outlined by the Secretary, and the membership, as explained, is open to all members of the Commission. The only one other thing that we need to do in a transparent manner is as to who will chair that working group. And I have a proposal. I see quite a number of countries give comments on the subject matter. I see there is Australia, Canada, Cuba, European Community, Japan, Norway, Paraguay, United States, Venezuela. And I wish to ask the Commission if they would agree with the idea that we ask any of the members who gave comments to volunteer to chair the working group. If there is no objection to that proposal, then can I ask any of the countries I mentioned to volunteer to chair the working group? I have Australia, Canada, Cuba, European Community, Japan, Norway, Paraguay, United States, Venezuela. Any volunteer? Sorry, could you put your flag?
United States
has volunteered to chair that working group. Any objection to United States chairing the in-session working group? Seeing no flag, then thank you very much, United States. United States will chair the in-session working group as outlined by the Secretary.
And the people have to base their work on
that. Right. And I also wish to draw to the attention of the working group that the documents that they will be considering will be Alnom 06/29/9C, and in particular paras 1 to 7, then Alnom 06/29/9C-1 and Alnom 06/26/9C-3. And I also, going back to the report of the 58th session of the Commission, I wish to take the Commission quickly to paragraphs 129 to 130. During the 58th session of the Executive Committee, and as we shall see in the later items of the Commission, there would be a proposal not to hold the December Executive Committee session, and if that proposal be accepted by this Commission, then the only opportunity the Executive Committee had to look at the agenda item for the 31st session was the 58th Executive Committee session. And would therefore wish to ask the Commission to note that the 59th session looked at the provisional agenda for the 30th session of the Commission. And while noting one of his recommendations made under Agenda Item 6, according to the 59th session of the Executive Committee, be postponed to June 2006. So we are asking the Commission to note that the agenda items for the 38th session was looked at by the Executive Committee and actually approved by the 58th Executive Committee. Indeed, it's a matter for noting by the Commission. And that brings us to the end of Agenda Item 2. And I wish to announce that we are fortunate to have with us now the Assistant Director General of WHO. And as we are informed during the opening, she could not be with us because of some other equally important matters. So I now have the privilege to welcome Ms. Weba Mosdorf, Assistant Director General WHO, to make a statement on behalf of WHO. Please.
Thank you. With the help of two men. Is it working now?
Yes.
Do you hear me? Excuse me. Apologizing coming later because of important UN reform meetings. So with a delay, I would like to welcome you to the 29th meeting of the Codex Commission. WHO is pleased that public health remains high on the Codex agenda, and to see the strong linkages that have been developed between WHO's public health activities and the actions of Codex. This means that the horizontal committees of Codex now are considered very important, enabling timely decisions related to chemical and microbiological contamination and other cross-cutting issues. WHO is also pleased to see that a number of urgent health issues related to food are now finding their way into the Codex deliberations. I'm here thinking of issues such as the microbiological contamination of powdered infant formula, the increased focus on the prevention of antimicrobial resistance, and the new work related to the recently discovered high levels of acrylamide in certain foods. Since WHO became aware of new scientific information that powdered infant formula can be contaminated with pathogenic microorganisms, we have been working with FAO and the Codex Commission to elaborate standards and develop science-based guidelines for the safe preparation of formula to protect the health of our most vulnerable citizens, the infants. WHO now encourages the Codex Commission to show similar diligence in tackling the issue of the development of antimicrobial resistance in foodborne bacteria due to the use of antimicrobials in animals. All uses of antimicrobials led to the selection of resistant pathogens. These pathogens can infect humans and limit our options to treat such patients, even in some cases leading to increasing mortality. It is important that Codex sets standards in this area that protects the health of humans from the unnecessary selection of resistant bacteria. We are therefore excited to see the potential start of a specific ad hoc Codex task force on antimicrobial resistance at the Commission meeting, and we believe that the continuation of collaboration with the OIE on these cross-sectoral issues represents the right way forward in our international work. given the increasing need for international standards, it is important that the work of Codex progress in a timely manner. WHO is pleased to see that the annual Codex meetings are helping to improve the timeless of the work of Codex. WHO is committed to continue a high level Codex activities, as well as activities related to the provision of scientific advice needed for Codex standards. WHO, as other international agencies, is however also feeling the strain of budget limitations. To help ease the financial constraints, WHO has established a fund which will allow donors to directly support the provision of scientific advice for member states and for the Codex. It is the hope that such search for additional extra budgetary funds will be successful and will enable us to maintain the higher level of activities related to scientific advice. This higher level WHO and FAO has provided over recent years new areas such as microbiological risk assessment and safety assessment of foods derived from the use of biotechnology. The extra budgetary funds contributed to this future fund will be used for technical consultations and workshops in all areas of food safety and will enable the development of consistent assessments across the farm to the fork continuum. The importance of the new international health regulations for the work of Codex should not be underestimated. And I would like to remind this meeting and member states in general that these regulations will come into force in June 2007. I'm happy to report to you that the InfoSAN system with emergency contact points now in approximately 150 countries should also be seen in this light. InfoSAN keeps a database requested original by Codex of all these relevant contacts which we hope to put to good use for the international public health incidents involved food food could be involved. I stated at the opening of the Commission meeting last year, WHO continues to work on a more efficient interactive mode of working between the WHA, our World Health Assembly, and the Codex system, recognizing that in the end we are trying to serve the same constituencies in promoting agreed public health policies. One of the important steps to achieve better coherence will be the reporting to WHA, to our main assembly, on important Codex activities every other year. Likewise, we will try to make sure that relevant assembly decisions are brought to the attention of the Commission in a timely manner. In this light, we will also be working more directly in collaboration with the Codex Secretariat to look into even better solutions in our joint FAO-WHO management of this whole process. Based on the recent independent evaluation of Codex, Codex has embarked on a series of reforms and WHO supports continued developments towards improving our process of budgetary planning in the parent organizations, especially related to as this relates to Codex. In this work, we also try to ensure a transparent and timely decision-making process in relation to the policy-level decisions in our organization in support of a Codex system that has always been a model of UN interagency collaboration, and we will use this model in the ongoing discussion about UN reform. Nevertheless, our work in this area can always be improved, and we will work hard to prepare good policy-level basis for such further improvements. As further guidance in this process, WHO sees a need of directing the work of CODEX towards helping developing countries more and more directly, and we recall that this need was one of the important outcomes of the CODEX evaluation. The FAO WHO CODEX Trust Fund for Enhanced Participation is now working at its third year. WHO is committed to increasing the participation of developing countries in CODEX. Their participation will ensure the global relevance of CODEX standards, guidance, and recommendations, and improve the consensus basis of all the CODEX process. WHO is, with the help of FAO, administering the CODEX Trust Fund with the aim to improve the quantity, but also the quality of participation by developing and at least developed countries. I am pleased to inform you that for this session, the fund provides support for more than 30 delegates, hopefully contributing to make it the best attended session of the CODEX Commission here in Geneva. The fund will enable to more efficient use of CODEX deliberations and products in an increasing number of countries. As one of the parent organizations, WHO looks forward to a continued collaboration with FAO and with CODEX, the CODEX Commission in improving food safety throughout the world. On behalf of the Acting Director General of WHO, Dr. Anders Nordström, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you to this important session of CODEX, and I wish you a very successful meeting. Thank you.
On behalf of the Commission, I wish to thank both Ms. Weber-Mostoff and Mr. Cressid Tontisrin for giving the opening statements on behalf of their organizations. We wish to thank FAO and WHO for the continued recognition of the important role played by the joint FAO-WHO Food Standards Program, especially in its purpose as prescribed in Article 1 of the statutes establishing the Codex Alimentarius Commission, particularly that of protecting the health of consumers and ensuring fair practices in food trade. We do recognize the efforts by both organizations to protect the joint FAO-WHO Food Standards Program, especially from budgetary cuts, and we welcome the reorganizations in both organizations which aimed at addressing better the food safety and nutrition concerns from this farm-to-table approach. The joint FAO-WHO evaluation of the Codex back 2002 came up with several recommendations for making the Codex a more efficient institution for meeting its members' expectations, again along the farm-to-table approach, and the increased global recognition of the work of the Codex is demonstrated by the increased membership of the Commission, and already we have implemented almost half of the recommendations, including the holding of annual Commission sessions, putting the standards management function on the executive committee. And in course of this implementation, the program has come under severe budgetary and human resource constraints, and we really wish to encourage the two parent organizations to ensure not only protection of the program from budgetary cuts, but see how they can increase the resources that can enable the program to be as efficient and to meet the expectations of its members. We are encouraged their efforts to look for extra budgetary resources, and we welcome that move. And it's true, with World Trade Organization recognition of the work of the joint program, there is again more demand for a rapid, timely action by the joint program to member requests. And given the situation as it stands now, we are getting concerned we might not meet those requirements unless the budgetary constraints and the human resource constraints are really addressed. With these few remarks, again, I wish to thank Ms. Weber Mosdorf and Mr. Christie Tontisrin for the good opening remarks from the two organizations. Thank you very much. I now wish the Commission to start looking at Agenda Item 3. And that is amendments to the procedural manual. And I wish to invite the Secretary to explain. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to inform the Commission that the amendment to the statute of the Commission, which was approved by the Commission at the 28th session, was subsequently approved by the FAO conference that met in November last year, and also by the World Health Assembly that met in May this year. Therefore, the statutes of the Commission have officially been amended and will be published as such in the 16th edition of the procedural manual. So this is the first announcement I can make. Mr. Chairman, the relevant document under this item is Alinom 06/29/4, which contains a series of proposals that have been approved and agreed upon by the last session of the Committee on General Principles that met in April this year in Paris. The document contains two sets of proposals. The first proposal is contained in Appendix 1 of the document that regards the amendments to the rules of the procedure. In accordance with Rule 6, Rule 6, paragraph 7 of the same rules of procedure, and Rule 15, paragraph 1, the Commission needs to have a quorum to proceed with the consideration of the amendments to these rules. On this item, the competence resides with the member states of the European Community and not with the European Community. Therefore, the required quorum is the simple majority of the whole membership, member countries of the Commission, which stands at 173. As indicated in the document CAC/29(1). The required quorum is 87 countries. Therefore, before starting the discussion and consideration of these proposals, we need to determine the presence of a quorum. So, in order to allow the Secretariat to count precisely the number of those member countries present, physically present in this room, I would ask the kindly ask the delegations to raise your country flag in this way and hold at that position. Thank you.
The counting has been done, and let's listen to the Secretariat on the numbers. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have identified the presence of 85 member countries, which is 2 countries short of the quorum. So, Mr. Chairman, the Secretariat would propose to postpone the consideration of this particular item regarding the amendment to the rules of procedure to a later occasion, for instance, Tuesday, noon sharp. And Mr. Chairman, through you, I would recommend, or I would rather request that the countries talk to their colleagues if you see them in the corridors or in the hall, so that they will certainly be here at noon tomorrow, so that we can try to reassess the presence of a quorum. Mr. Chairman, having said this, we could proceed with the second part of the document. The Appendix 2, Appendix 3, Appendix 4, Appendix 5, and Appendix 6 of the working document contains proposals to amend other sections of the procedural manual, which does not require the presence of a quorum. So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to suggest that the Commission proceed with the examination of the document and consider whether the Commission can adopt those changes, starting with Appendix 2, which is the proposal to the amendments to the elaboration procedure of the Codex Standards and related texts. Appendix 2 had been the subject of discussion at the 28th session of the Commission, which has requested the CCGP to look at the elaboration procedure and put the text in consistency with other amendments that had already been adopted, namely the introduction of the critical review. The CCGP looked at this issue, and while there is a further need to continue to work on the guide to the procedures for the revision and amendments to Codex Standards and the other texts, the CCGP agreed to put these amendments set out in Appendix 2 for consideration by the Commission and for adoption by the Commission. So, Mr. Chairman, these amendments set out in Appendix 2 are all interrelated, so the suggestion from the Secretariat would be after the discussion on these amendments, the Commission consider those amendments in block, en bloc, so that there will be no inconsistency from adopting part of these amendments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And now the Commission is invited to start looking at the amendments proposed. And if we go to Appendix 2, Part 3, Uniform Procedure for the Elaboration of Codex Standards and Related Text, and it's at Step 8, and there's text in bold. I wish to invite any comments on the text proposed to be included. or objections for that matter?
Compared to Malaysia, India, Armenia, this is the most direct meeting.
Okay, we note Malaysia. Armenia. India? India?
Armenia.
Okay. So we have Malaysia and India. We start with Malaysia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Malaysia supports the amendment to be made in Part 3 and Part 4 of the procedures for the elaboration of the Codex Standards and related texts. While supporting the amendment as proposed, Malaysia would like to bring to the attention of the Commission that the proposal also resulted in the deletion of 6 paragraphs currently under title Guide to the Consideration of 6 Standards of Standards at Step 8 of the procedure of the elaboration of Codex Standards, including consideration of any statement relating to economic impact. These texts are to ensure that work of the Codex Committee is not affected by the passage of insufficiently considered amendment in the Commission, while at the same time to provide scope for significant amendment to be made and to be raised and considered in the Commission, and to ensure, as far as practicable, that delegations are given sufficient warning of amendments at the Commission. Malaysia notes that the Codex Committee of General Principles had agreed to insert additional clarification on the submission of circular letters requesting comments at Step 8 in Section 2 of the Guidelines on the Conduct Meeting of Codex Committee and Ad Hoc Intergovernmental Task Forces or at other appropriate sections. Malaysia is of the view that it is important to have these texts, i.e. the 6 paragraphs mentioned above, that have been inadvertently deleted, be reinserted back in Section 1 of the elaboration procedure or in other sections as deemed appropriate, and propose that the Secretariat prepare a document for the next CGP meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supporting the point raised by Malaysia, we do support Part 3 of this document, but we believe that in the deletion of the Guide to the Consideration of Standards at Step 8, two important concerns have perhaps been left out, or if they have been touched, they have been touched somewhat inadequately. The first, if I may, is Paragraph 2. Paragraph 2 of this deleted text specifies that when the standards are distributed to member countries, the Secretariat will indicate the date by which proposed amendments must be received. This date will be fixed so as to allow sufficient time for such amendments to be in the hands of governments, not less than 1 month before the session of the Commission. The second paragraph that we would draw your attention to is paragraph 6, which provides at step 8 to members the opportunity to draw attention of the Commission to the possible implications of a draft standards to its economic interests, including any such matter which has not, in that member's opinion, been satisfactorily resolved at an earlier step in the procedure. It also provides the guidelines for the manner in which such a representation is to be made by the member country. We believe, sir, that these provisions under the existing paragraph 2 are important for countries to be able to form objective and considered views on codex documents before presenting these views in the meetings. And paragraph 6 is perhaps a very important opportunity to countries to raise issues regarding not just the possible implications, but also to clarify whether at the previous steps such considerations have been addressed or not, and provide some guidance on the manner in which such a representation has to be made. So our submission, Mr. Chairperson, is to reinsert these two paragraphs at the introduction of Step 8. We have circulated it through the CRD document, and if you desire, I could read it out. Otherwise, the intent is merely to insert these two submissions.
Thank you, India. Seeing no any other flag, I wish to invite the Secretary to make some comments. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It goes beyond my capacity to address all the questions raised, but I try to address some of the matters raised. The first of all, the guide to the consideration of standards at step 8 of the procedure for the elaboration of codex standards, including consideration of any statements relating to economic impact. This document was not part of the procedural manual when the Commission established its elaboration procedure, but it was added at a later date to provide more guidance to the Commission. However, because the matters on how to send comments are provided for partly in Part 3 and Part 4 of the document, usually the guide should be considered to be applicable at Step 5 of the accelerate procedure, but when accelerate procedure was introduced, there was no amendment made to the guide, so this resulted in inconsistency. And as I mentioned, the guide adds a degree of complication to the readers of the procedural manual because they need to refer to several different parts in order to understand when they can send comments. And indeed, several provisions are repeated in Part 3, Part 4, and in this present guide. Therefore, the Secretariat has presented two options to the CCGP, one amending the present guide, the other deleting the guide and transferring the most important provisions to the Part 3 and Part 4, so that important elements will not be lost. So this is, Mr. Chairman, my first observation on the background of the guide document. Mm-hmm. Secondly, in reply to the point raised by the distinguished delegate from India, under the codex, the current codex discussion schedules, practically speaking, it is impossible to comply with paragraph 2 of the guide. The situation has become even worse since the Commission started to hold annual sessions. To accommodate the meetings of all subsidiary bodies and in an optimal manner so that endorsement provisions can be discussed prior to the Commission session, we are obliged to plan for several codex meetings until the second half of the month of May. Even if the reports of these sessions are ready by early June, the Commission schedule, Commission session is put on early July, making it impossible to provide or give governments 1 month time to study the comments to the text advanced to step 5 or step 8. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, actually the paragraph 2 of the guide is used as a provision for encouragement, but not the provision we can adhere to literally. Mr. Chairman, with referring to the second comment made by India, I would like to refer the Commission to the amendments proposed in Appendix 2 and Part 3, Step 8 of the procedure, elaboration procedures. It reads that, especially in the Gothic part, which is the addition to the current text, it reads that in taking any decision at this step, the Commission will give due consideration to the outcome of the critical review and to any comment that may be submitted by any of its members regarding the implications which the draft standard or any provision thereof may have for their economic interest. In addition, according to the established practice of the Commission and the customs we have in the Codex system, we do accept all kinds of comments at Step 8. Of course, including economic impact comments, but also technical comments. Mr. Chairman, it is the view of the Secretariat that the deletion of the guide and provided that insertion to the current text adopted would not result in any changes in the rights and obligations of the members of the Commission. Mr. Chairman, if one or two members feel strongly that still some important elements that are included in the current guide will be missed by these amendments, the Commission possibly could invite those members to submit a discussion paper to the Committee on General Principles so that the latter committee can look at their proposals. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and I hope India and Malaysia can leave with explanation from the Secretary. No, Malaysia?
Thank you, Chairman. We note the explanation provided by the Secretariat. In particular, the Secretariat is focusing on the circular letter, and that has already been agreed to be made at the next Codex Committee on General Principles. But there are also other points that have been missed. For example, in the case where comments, substantive comments are made at the Commission, there should be guidance on how this should be dealt with. The idea is to make sure that standards that are passed at the Commission level have been satisfactorily resolved, have been satisfactorily considered at the committee level, and have been made aware of to all the members of the Commission prior to the Codex meeting. In our view, there is a need to relook and review the deletion that has been made, and it is our view that the Secretariat should look at it again and put back those passages that have been missing from the current text back to the appropriate section of the Commission. It is as we feel that the deletion of the relevant sections are important for the conduct of the Codex meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Malaysia.
India.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We noted the clarification given by the Secretariat. While it's a fact that the load of the Commission has become so much that it's very difficult to circulate the papers adequately in time, but we believe that this is an important enabling provision, because what happens is that for many of the countries who have not attended all the commodity committees and other meetings, this becomes the only opportunity to raise their concerns. And we do need to look at some kind of mechanism by which we can enable the access to the proceedings and to the standards proposed to be adopted at Step 8 and 5 to those countries in an adequate time. What would be that adequacy and what would be the mechanism, I believe it's for the Commission to decide. But we feel that this is an issue which needs to be flagged. The second concern, I do note that the Secretary pointed out that these issues which are expressed in point 6 of the guide are addressed in practice. I do agree with that. But the fact is that the reason for us to put things down in writing is because that's how we sanctify it. So I believe that whatever we do in practice, it's good to spell it out in the document, and that's all we're trying to say. I don't believe it justifies a separate discussion paper. These are two paragraphs which existed, and the suggestion is only to bring them back in exactly the document the way it has been prepared at Step 8 as an insertion in the paragraphs prior to this. That's the suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, India. And
Sudan,
please.
Singapore.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Sudan delegation, led by His Excellency the Under Secretary, I would like to congratulate you on your election. Although it is high time to mention that, I'm happy to see you on the podium and with other members of the staff of the FAO and WHO. Mr. Chairman, I wonder if ARZO is invited to this meeting. That is the African Organization for Standardization, ARZO. When I mention this, I intend to try to put in Step 8, second line, together with any written proposals received from members, and I add an interested regional and international organizations. And this is repeated again in Step 5, line 3, together with any written proposals received from members and interested regional and international organizations. So we hope to see that our regions are well expressed in such fora. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sudan, and I have Singapore. Singapore, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Singapore strongly supports the views expressed by Malaysia and India. I think the points they express are very important for Codex in its proper functioning. We should not rush into things. Every country must be given adequate time to consider the papers. And it appears to be a little bit hasty for the amendments to be made in such a drastic manner, in totally dropping the entire point 1 to 6 in under the section for deliberation of Codex Standard at Step 8. I think we should take this back, get CCGP to look at it, and incorporate the important points back into the document so that it will not be forgotten in our haste of pushing the Codex Standards through. I think it's important for us to have a proper procedure rather than based on in practice this is being done. That is not good enough. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Singapore. And seeing no other flag, I wish to invite the Secretary to clarify, and then we shall conclude. Thank you. Secretary, please. Argentina, please. Sorry, you are sitting down there and we could not listen. Sorry. Argentina, please.
Hola. Hola. Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina desea mencionar que el tema de las preocupaciones económicas al momento de tomar decisiones respecto de la aprobación de normas de códex es una cosa, es un criterio que entiendo que preocupa a muchos países en desarrollo. No obstante, nosotros estamos de acuerdo con la propuesta de enmienda al procedimiento para la elaboración de normas. Apoyamos la parte 3 y la parte 4. Sin embargo, por entender la preocupación de la India, de Malasia y de Singapur, consideramos que quizás el procedimiento más adecuado sería poder aprobar el documento y que la comisión le indicara, como ha manifestado el secretario, al Comité de Principios Generales, que vuelva a evaluar la pertinencia de estos párrafos que se están eliminando para que en el futuro, si corresponde, se los vuelva a incorporar o se vuelva a establecer algún tipo de guías que ayude en estas cuestiones. Gracias.